coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Hey Yo Studio.
Hey Yo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Monty Williams gets upset with the Knicks again.
Oh, jeez.
The Chiefs trade Sneed, and our good friend Vinny Accardi joins us on the In Route. We'll begin today's show with controversy in basketball and baseball. Shohei Ohtani, yeah, that guy, and Jonte Porter of the Toronto Raptors are being investigated for betting on their sport. In Ohtani's case, his interpreter stole $4 million of his money to bet on other sports that are not baseball. And in the Rocket and the Toronto Raptors situation for Jonte Murray, there were betting irregularities in his over-unders for some games he played in the last couple of months. So, Z, which sport is in more trouble?
Well, let's think about the relationship between gambling and the two leagues. Now, the NBA, there have been conspiracy theories that the NBA has been fixed for years, right? And then Rudy Gobert was just fined for doing the money sign to the refs. So, like, that is not dying, right? It's something that there's enough there. And you had the Tim Donaghy scandal. So it's well ingrained in the NBA. It's also well ingrained in Major League Baseball, too. I got two examples for you, right? I got the Chicago White Sox from 1919. And something a little bit more recently, a fellow by the name of Pete Rose. So you really can't get away from gambling if you are these two sports. Now, everybody assumes that Major League Baseball is on the up and up ever since the 1919 Black Sox scandal. So there's less of a there is less of a stigma there. However, Major League Baseball has gotten into bed with a lot of gambling. Like, they jumped in with both feet. And they don't give a shit. Like, they don't care whatsoever. For something like this to happen with the highest paid player in Major League Baseball history, the highest modern profile player, right? The Japanese Babe Ruth. Like, this is a huge, huge black eye for Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred needs to act immediately. He needs to investigate immediately. You know, there are ways to go about this, right? I'm not saying that it's the same as Wander Franco. I'm not saying it's the same as Trevor Bauer. But if you're going to investigate what Shohei Ohtani is doing or has been doing or has not been doing, like, you need to take it seriously if you're Rob Manfred, because you're speaking about the integrity of the game. The NBA, people assume it's fixed anyway. So, you know, the integrity is slightly above professional wrestling. So for a guy like, you know, Jonte Porter, who I was not familiar with his game, to all of a sudden these prop bets start coming up and...
Heavy.
Like, that starts to move the line a little bit. You got to figure there's some blue chips going on, right? There's some point shaving. There's all sorts of things that... All sorts of unseemly things that are happening there. And, you know, I have an eye injury. My eye. I can't see. Please, coach, take me out. You're like, no, I can't. I mean... It's something. It's really something, but it's bad on both sides, man. But it's worse for Major League Baseball because the best fucking player's doing it. It's the best player. The best.
Yeah, I think in the short term, I'd say Jontay Porter. I know you're saying that in basketball we've seen this before, but in the past, what it was referees,
yeah,
and it was front office people with, you know, the frozen envelope during the Ewing draft. But in this situation, you've got a player. He's manipulating the score of the game. And not only that, but he must have told a bunch of people because there was heavy action on his overs and unders.
Yeah.
So this guy, and he's the brother of Michael Porter Jr., who was a very good basketball player. So in this situation, you're talking about, man, this guy is getting banned. I would find it very hard to believe that he survives this. There's just too many, there's too much evidence pointing in the direction that he manipulated the score. Now, it's one thing if the coach came over to him and said, hey, man, I'm taking you out. You know, you're not playing well. But if he's asking to come out of the game because his eye hurts, he's asking to come out of the game because his stomach doesn't feel good or he's feeling sick, and this is after you've scored X amount of points and you've played well, he's on a two-way contract, so he's only making $415,000.
Right.
He had the chance to make some pretty big money from the people who bet heavily on him. Now, in the long term, it's baseball, right?
Yeah.
Because this Ohtani thing is bad. And we talked about this in the production meeting. The problem is the story changed. In the beginning, it was, hey, man, my interpreter has a gambling problem. I'm trying to help him cover his bets. I paid the bookie off to make it go away. Someone decided that wasn't a good plan. And they changed the story to, I do nothing about it. He stole money from me. I never bet on baseball. I never bet on esports. All right, man, you want to walk that line? That's fine, but now you have to walk that line. And if anybody finds out that this was your account, you knew about it, or you were putting the bets in, and the interpreter was a fall guy, Major League Baseball, you've got a huge problem. Yeah. Because now this guy, who's supposed to be the face of the league, next Babe Ruth, pitcher, hitter, needs to get banned. I mean, you ban Pete Rose, you're going to have to ban this guy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The fact that you're letting him play while this investigation is going on, hey, man, we're in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. I get that. But he's going to be affecting games because he's playing. And, you know, Z, we talked about this in the meeting, production meeting. If you and I are friends and we're sitting at a bar and I've got $50 on the Knicks to win, you're going to know why I have $50 on the Knicks to win if we're watching that game.
Of course. Body language says it all.
If it's $50, it's $50, man. You're going to know that I'm in this for something, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm a degenerate gambler, which it turns out they're making this interpreter out to be, and he's a liar, he's a terrible person, you spend all your time with me, you should know this. You should know this. And then the other thing is who, what kind of a bookie is giving an extended line of credit to an interpreter for $4 million? And if you are, it's because you know who's bankrolling him. You know he's got the money. Who's backing him up?
You know he's connected.
You know he's connected, and he's $4 million in the hole today. But what about when he was up? What about when he was winning? Who was cashing in on that stuff? See, the problem becomes is that, you know, online betting is illegal in California.
Yeah.
So if Shohei was doing it, boom, you're busted there. You're paying a bookie, boom, you're busted there. There's no way out of this, my man, if they find out that you're involved in any way. And, you know, the word on the street is Major League Baseball is not going to let Ohtani go down because he's their poster child, he's their guy. There's a part of me that believes that, but there's also a part of me that says, man, if you don't make an example of him, everybody's going to do it. Everybody's going to do it.
What's stopping him? You're right.
And this is the problem with having gambling in baseball or any sport. You're leaving yourself wide open for this. I will defend Ohtani in this regard, that if you're a degenerate gambler, you're a degenerate gambler. Just like if you're an alcoholic or if you got a drug problem, you got a problem. You don't know it. You think there's ways out of it. You think you can lie. You think you can get away with it. Look at Pete Rose. Yeah. Pete Rose's beginning, it was, I never bet on sports. Then it was, well, I didn't bet on sports, but I didn't bet on baseball. Then it became, well, I bet on baseball, but I didn't bet on my team. Then it became, I bet on my team, but I never bet on my team to lose. It's like, it just, the hole gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
It's a, and in baseball, it's murky,
it takes, man. And in baseball, it takes time, right?
Yeah.
People remember the Black Sox scandal, but people forget they got to play the 2020 season.
Yeah.
They got to play.
They
and
did.
It wasn't until after that year they're like, okay, guys, you're banned for life.
Yeah. Kennesaw Mountain Man is like, he came later.
You will ever play baseball again.
No.
And it's like, wait a minute, what? We beat the case. Yeah, but you definitely bet on baseball. You're out. So baseball is going to take time. He's going to have time, and the feds are involved.
Right.
So, you know, that's my only problem with this is that, you know, it's just hard to believe you didn't know anything. You want to say you didn't know everything, but if you say you didn't know anything,
that's hard to believe.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
When this guy is no more than 4 feet behind you at all times. He has your personal belongings. He's your hand-picked interpreter. This is not an employee of the Dodgers. Right? The Dodgers had their own interpreter, right? I'm sure Yoshinobu Yamamoto has his own interpreter supplied to him by the Dodgers. This is your boy. Like, where there's smoke, there's fire, man. This looks really bad. Major League Baseball needs to clean this optic up. Even if it's something like, I am going into treatment for a gambling addiction, right? Think back to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, like, it's not the same thing, I know, but crashed the car. There was a hooker or a porn star, it was whatever, something like that. Next thing you know, I'm a sex addict. I gotta go. I'm going to, like, I got a problem. I have a major problem, and I'm gonna deal with it. So maybe that's what happens in lieu of being placed on the restricted list. Because we have Juan DeFranco, we have Trevor Bauer. Yes, they're not the same thing, because one was, you know, allegations of aggravated sexual assault, and the other one was allegations of inappropriate relationships with a minor. So those are, like, in the grand scheme of things, $4.5 million on, you know, whatever, horses, college basketball, whatever, it doesn't seem that bad, does it? Considering the past, the most recent legal wranglings that Major League Baseball has had to be involved in. But it's a bad look. It's an absolute bad look. Like, Otani can't be this closed off. The Dodgers can't rally around him like they have. They need to make him available. He's got to talk. And he cannot control this. That's the thing. We did not find out he had a fiance until he was married. We know more about Derek Jeter than we do about Shohei Ohtani. And Derek Jeter was the most closed-lipped professional athlete ever. So the Dodgers need to get out in front of this with Ohtani. And they need to be public. And they need to be transparent. And they absolutely need to be forthcoming here. Because if they're not forthcoming and the media keeps digging, the chances are you're not going to like what they find. And you're not going to be able to control that narrative. Get out in front of it. If you got to say, I have a gambling addiction and I'm going to seek help, do it. Do something. But the stance you're taking right now is probably not the best case. It's probably not the best for you and your player.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Now moving over to football, the owners have decided to breathe life back into kickoffs. Well, sort of. In a surprising move, the NFL has decided to adopt the XFL model, where 9 guys will line up directly in front of each other, while the kicker kicks off to 2 returners who are allowed to field the ball. Is this a bigger deal for the NFL or the XFL?
Well, we know the UFL is the, you know, this is where it got its, it's in the XFL, but now it's unified with the USFL, so it's kind of their rule. But you gotta figure that they're trying to avoid the excess touchbacks, which are horrible. I mean, if that's the case, if that's the way they were going, then just, you know, get rid of the kickoff altogether. Just put the ball in the 35 and call it a day. But, I mean, if they're trying to spice things up a little bit, I like the fact that there's that setup zone and they can't move. I mean, that's going to kind of cut down the injuries a little bit because you're not going to, like, you're not going to have that full speed momentum. You're probably not going to have the gunners being forced out of bounds at the rate that they're being forced out. And it's not as exciting to me as the banning of the hip drop. I think the hip drop is going to be a bigger deal than this. Frankly, like, at the end of the day, special teams players are good, but they're... when guys like Mark Andrews are dropping with knees and ankles, when key position players are dropping with knees and ankles because of these hip drops, like, it's bad. It's as bad as the horse collar, because the horse collar got out of control and they fixed that, right? Now it's personal foul, 15 yards, and you keep your best players, your most talented players, your most skilled players in the game and healthy. You know, I think that is going to be a bigger deal, because you're not going to hip drop Tyreek Hill now, right? Well, first you have to catch Tyreek Hill. But if you were able to catch Tyreek Hill, now you're not going to try and hip drop him to put him down. You're not going to try and hip drop Patrick Mahomes. Now, you run into a little bit of a murky situation there, where if you get, like, a close call that decides a game, you know, everybody's going to point to that. Oh, it's the Chiefs again. All the Chiefs are getting that favorable call that was illegal around the waist tackle that they got called for a hip drop on because Kermit the Frog was barking at them. But it's a necessary it's definitely more necessary than the kickoff, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it just gives the referees another way to control the game.
Yeah.
Right? It gives them a way to bail out the offense when the defense is making stops. That's my opinion on the hip drop. I mean, the problem I have with that is that there's no way to tackle certain guys. Like, no. You know, if Derrick Henry's coming like a freight train, you're going to try to size him up and hit him in his waist and bring him down.
Yeah.
No, you're going to let him run by you and grab on the back of you. Now, you let him run by you, and now he can just keep going because you're not allowed to grab on and bring him down. You know, to me, the hip drop is like kind of the result of a guy like Mark Andrews not willing to go down after getting tackled. If somebody hits you and you just go down, you're not going to hurt your hip. It's when you're trying to fight for those excess yards, right, and a person decides to drop their weight because they got you around the hips and they bring you down. So I think the better thing would be, like, if you're worried about getting hurt on a hit drop tackle, when you get hit, just go down. As far as the kickoff rule, see, I would have liked it better if maybe they tried this out in the preseason first before we just unrolled it in week one, man. Like, why don't we see how this works in the preseason and see how we like it and we don't like it? Because honestly, Z, I don't see this working with professionals. I think this is good with amateurs. I think it's a good format. But to have this work out with professionals who can shed a block in one move,
yeah,
or pull a guy down and get you right away, this could turn into like seven guys tackling one guy because seven guys on one side beat their man rather easily. But try this out in college. I mean, is college just going to still have the regular kickoff? Like, I just think that we were too quick to jump into, hey, let's try this. And it's like this sweet zone of like, oh, well, the touchback's 35 yards. We kind of want them to return it. I just think if either have them return kicks or not have them return kicks.
Right, exactly.
Either have them play defense or don't have them play defense. Like, this is getting ridiculous as far as, like, you know, what people can do for tackling what people. It's hard enough to tackle somebody. But now you put so many different rules into how I can tackle someone. It's just ridiculous. And the thing about it is, like, there's so many posts in on X. It's like, you know, what would be one rule change you'd like to see in the National Football League? You'd like to, if you could change any rule, or you could add any rule, or put any rule in. And the one I said, and I immediately answered, I want illegal contact out of the game. I think that corners should be able to hand fight past 5 yards. You need to give the defense something. It's ridiculous. If there's one thing I want, is I want to get rid of all replay. Because now, if I understand correctly, if a coach gets a replay challenge right, they automatically get a third challenge.
Great.
I just don't want it. They don't get it right anyway. So what does it matter? Like, I'm just tired of it all. So the things I'd like to change if I could, what is it called? The 5 yards. You could hand fight all the way downfield. I don't care. But if you try to stop the receiver from catching the ball, if you try to stop the defender from catching the ball, that is pass interference. That's it. Get rid of illegal contact. I hate illegal contact. Again, I think it's just a way for them to control the game. And I don't want replay. Get rid of those 2 things.
I mean, those are fair. I would say that those are 2 of the biggest ones. The challenge system, like the winning or keeping your challenge, like, I mean, you shouldn't be penalized for that. Okay, I understand that too. I don't think you need to get another. Like, that seems,
what are we doing here?
We're slowing the game down enough because you still have booth review, right?
Booth, it's not review, like, yeah. The other team has 3 challenges. Now we got 6 challenges plus all booth on the review. Field. Plus booth review. How about you just let the booth make the right call? If we're so pressed for getting the right call,
yeah,
then just let the booth make the right call. Why do I got to challenge an incorrect play?
Yeah.
Like, think about explaining instant replay to someone who knows nothing about football. I think they got the play wrong, so I ask for them to review it. They review it, and they tell me if the play is right or wrong. If the goal is to get it right, then just let them get it right.
Well, the other thing they also need to clarify, and I think they were working towards that, is what is intentional grounding? Like, you have the tackle box. Like, who's the eligible receiver? Is within 5 yards? Like, is he going to the ground? If he's going to the ground already, is that, you know, what are we doing here? Like, yes, this is a way to protect Patrick Mahomes from his intentional grounding. Because he does it a lot. He does it a lot. Now, this isn't a Tom Brady throwaway situation. Like, that's clear. Like, I have nothing. I got nothing. I'm throwing it away.
Throw it away. Peyton used to just throw it into the ground.
That's it. But, you know, it gets murky. It's like, who's the eligible receiver? Where's the tackle box? Was he established as a runner? Like, was he behind the line of scrimmage? Like, there's a lot of gray area that is going to end up protecting a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Or a guy like, you know, Lamar Jackson. You know, somebody who's mobile, who can extend the play, and then, fuck, it's not there. Like, what do we do? So, you know, you need to clearly define that. Like, the same way we joke around about what a catch is.
I don't know what a catch is.
I still don't know what a catch is. Like, you know, like, did he survive the ground? Did he make a football? What is a football move? What does he have to flash the Heisman pose? Like, what does he have to do to constitute a football move? If he, I mean,
that looked like a baseball move to me, Jeff.
Exactly. Like, you know, he slid. Like,
he slid.
He slid. He slid feet first.
He slid feet first. It looked like he was sliding to second there. It looked like a baseball move to me.
That was a pop-up slide.
You know what? When he threw that pass, it almost looked like he was shooting like a basketball. It looked like a basketball move to me, Joe.
He dropped it on the ground, and then he kicked it. Like, you know, I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know what the hell's going on here.
He's
having a stroke.
Oh, my God. Like, these are the things that need to be clarified that somehow got, you know, messed up along the way, and like they need to fix this, because again, we talked about the integrity of Major League Baseball and the NBA. You're calling into question the integrity of the NFL. If you can't define the simplest of things, right? Even the fumbling out of the end zone. If you fumble out of the end zone, touchback. Like, why does it have to be a turnover to the other team? Like, clarify why. Like, that would be... that. If you could do that for me, and explain to me like I'm a five-year-old, why this is a good idea, and why they just don't get essentially a redo, right? Why the offense doesn't just get the ball back, because a possession is not established by the other team. It's not. It goes out the back of the end zone. Nobody possesses that ball. So, like, that rule needs to be cleaned up. There are some things that they can do that they can, like, that the energy can be spent on. We didn't even talk about the onside kick rule. Now the onside kick has to be declared. Why? Why? There goes the element of fucking surprise.
I am going to try to get the ball back on this kickoff. Get ready.
Surprise, motherfucker. Boom. But how, I mean, now what happens if you declare an onside kick and then you change your mind and you're booming through the uprights? Is that a penalty for lying? 15 yards for lying.
You have to play the rest of the game without pants on because you are a liar and your pants are on fire.
It's absurd.
Sean Payton literally would not have a Super Bowl if he had declared he was kicking an onside kick in that damn game.
Exactly. And it's only within the last 2 minutes of the game or something. Like there's a ridiculous rules and circumstances and stipulations. Can we just...
Seems like they just get in a room and it's like, how can we fuck the game
can
up
Can we fucking play
year?
Football? Can we can please we, just fucking play football?
How can we jack this game up? This game that's been playing for almost 100 years now. How could we make it more complicated and make it worse? I've got it.
It's remarkable. It really is remarkable how these competition committees and rules committees go in there and say, how can we fuck this game up some more?
And a surprise move, the Tush Push survived. It's not going to be banned this year.
Well,
it's back in play.
I think that...
after everybody complained about it.
Well,
all season.
Here's the
it's
thing.
Back.
It's back, but there's now a blueprint on stopping it. Have a big motherfucker like Vita Vea. There you go. A big fucking a nose tackle. tackle.
You're not tush pushing on me.
No. No. Nobody no tush push
I
on me.
Stop tush push.
Nobody is pushing anything on Vita Vea. He does the pushing. Vita Vea does the pushing. Speaking of
the
push.
Kid? Yeah, speaking of push,
the Kansas City Chiefs pushed out stud cornerback L'Jarius Sneed to the Titans for a third-round pick. Chiefs Kingdom is rightfully upset with the trade as they feel the cornerback is worth a lot more. He's been one of the stalwarts on that secondary, which was one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL last year. You think you could have gotten more than a third-round pick if you were the GM of the Chiefs?
You know, I think the problem became paying him, right? That was the problem, is that I decided that I wanted to stick with Chris Jones.
Uh-huh.
$95 million, I think, 5-year deal. So we franchise Sneed and allow him to go seek out a trade. I'm getting something for him, because if I didn't trade him, I'd lose him. I can't sign him to a long-term deal. I already got Chris Jones. So I think he got traded for a third and swapped of seventh round draft picks. I think Chiefs Kingdom would have been happy with a third and a fifth, but ain't like nobody was giving that up, because they know you're stuck.
Right.
You're stuck. Because you got a guy on a 1-year deal who ain't gonna play. And if he does play, he ain't gonna play hard because he wants to get paid.
Right.
So the best thing to do was to just, you know, let him find a trade. He found a decent trade. And I think it broke that he just got paid too. He got a long-term deal.
It's a very lucrative contract.
very lucrative contract, which he deserves. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's the reason why they beat Baltimore in Baltimore, because he slapped the ball out of, I think it was...
Flowers, wasn't it?
Flowers. Oh, as he was crossing the goal line. Yeah. He's a heady player. You know, you just decided that you'd rather have pressure on the quarterback than defending it with your back seven. That's basically what happened.
I mean, it's fair. I mean, Chris Jones is a disruptor. Legarius Sneed, for his career, only has 10 picks. Right, so he's a cover guy. Like, he's definitely a cover guy.
But he's a cover corner. Yeah. You need a cover corner to win in this league.
You do. And they're replacing Kevin Byard. Like the Titans, they're replacing Kevin Byard with him.
I like what the Titans are doing. They're making Pollard. They went and got Sneed. They're rebuilding. They're in rebuild mode. They're doing a decent job at it. I just don't think you can be mad. Like, they chose the route they wanted to go.
Nobody's going to trade a first-round pick for a cornerback. Like, I think
people were just more upset that he left.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's all we could get for him was a third rounder and a swap of sevens. That's like all we could do.
Well,
and I get it.
If you look at some of the past trades, right? You have Nnamdi Asamoah and Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
He is neither of those guys. Like, maybe he's closer to Nnamdi Asamoah than he is Darrell Revis.
Well, which Nnamdi Asamoah? The one that played for the Raiders?
The one the Eagles thought they were getting. The one the Eagles left, they thought they were getting. But that brought back such a haul, right? That the Revis trade brought back such a haul. I don't think they're in the same stratosphere.
No, I don't think so either. But I just think it was he's their best corner.
No, he is their best corner.
Lost their best corner. And you're like, well, if he's our best corner and he just won a Super Bowl, then why are we only getting a third round pick for him? And it's like, I just don't think that the fans understand the math of the situation, because you weren't going to be able to sign him because your quarterback is making a shit ton of money. You decided to give Chris Jones $95 million and you still have, and Kelsey's still making a decent amount of money. Like, you don't have the money to sign Sneed to a long-term deal. And at the end of the day, we'd rather have the pass rusher than the corner. The corner is only going to... That was the problem the Jets made, right? I mean, the Jets were like, oh, we got Darrell Revis. That's fine. We're just going to throw to the other side of the fucking field.
Right. Exactly.
You can shut... Great. Revis Island. And even Brady and Peyton said we just didn't look that way. We just considered that done for the day, and we just worked with the other two-thirds of the fucking field.
Right.
Where if your Chris Jones is coming at you every play, like, and there's no one that can really stop him. So that's why I never really agreed with the Jets' philosophy.
I mean, the Jets overvalued Darrell Revis, and at the end of the day, like, they needed a guy like Antonio Cromartie on the other side. Like, they, without him, like, that's kind of, you know, it's easy pickings. Like, it's absolutely easy pickings. And you know what?
Oh, Victor Cruz cooked him. Pierre Garçon cooked him. Yeah. Everybody got it.
It's only a matter of time. Like, there really is no shutdown
against corner. Against good quarterbacks. A shutdown corner could be a problem for a quarterback that is not elite, that is not top 10. They could struggle with it because it does become a chore to, you know, have other players on your team run the routes or get on the same page with other guys.
But then you also have the situation like in Seattle where Richard Sherman never crossed the field. So, okay, I'm just going to stay on that side of the field and call it a day. Like, but then you had Cam Chancellor. You had Earl Thomas. You had guys back there who were going to make your life difficult, to where throwing to Richard Sherman actually sounded like a good idea. So, you know, I get where they're going, and they have a young secondary. They have a good secondary. Like, they have a cheap secondary, and their secondary just got cheaper. So I guess that kind of telegraphs where they're prioritizing in the draft. You kind of figure that they're going skill position, beef up the offensive line, and then secondary. Maybe another linebacker to go with Karlaftis. But I mean, they are kind of...
And they have to replace Gay.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to replace Willie Gay. That's right. So, you know, so yeah, linebacker is definitely going to be in play. But, you know, if you keep a young, good, cheap defense, you can afford to pay some of those guys on the other side of the line, right? Because the offensive line's also probably going to want to get paid too. And they're going to have to keep, you know, they're going to have to keep Patrick Mahomes clean.
Need a little inspiration in the kitchen? Want to try something new? Or maybe you just need a new YouTube cooking show to binge? Well, I have the answer for all three. As You Eat It, hosted by me, Z. I invite you into my home and show you methods designed to empower and inspire you in the kitchen. Cook how you want to cook, eat how you want to eat, eat as you eat it. That's As You Eat It, available only on YouTube. AZ, You Eat It. Check it out and let's get cooking.
Switching over to basketball. Monty Williams, head coach of the Pistons. He's upset with the Knicks again. As the Knicks buried the Pistons 124-99. For some reason, Coach Thibodeau decided to leave his starters in, particularly Dante DiVincenzo, who knocked down 11 three-pointers and set the franchise record for three-pointers and had a career-high 40 points. And when asked about the record and the Knicks after the game, Monty Williams said, "I don't care about their team at all. I couldn't care less. Those guys, the way they got those threes, I don't want to be part of that story." See, does Monty Williams have a right to have a gripe with the New York Knicks?
There's a magical phrase, Coach. No comment. No comment. I don't care about their team at all. Yes, you do. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. We got you in one. We caught you in one. I couldn't care less. You wouldn't have brought it up if you didn't. You know? At least he said it correctly. Most people say, "I could care less," and that's not true. Like, that's not the proper way of phrasing that statement. "I couldn't care less" is actually the way you're supposed to say it, people. If you really are trying to convey the fact you don't give a shit. So kudos to Coach Monty Williams for the correct usage of that statement. Those guys, the way they got those threes, I don't want to be a part. You just added to the story, dude. You just added to it. Now, kudos to Dante DiVincenzo. He still had to make the shots, right? Like, he still had to make them.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, my whole thing is like, you know, it's hard because you're going for a record,
yeah,
which they clearly were doing.
Of course, they were trying to do it.
The Pistons were undermanned. The Pistons are the worst team in the league. The Pistons were hurt. I mean, you're just really, you're adding insult to injury by being on a team like that. Like, you, my only thing is, like, I feel like the Knicks should have had a little bit more respect for the game, a little bit more respect for their opponent. It's not like you're playing the Heat, right? And this is a very meaningful game for both of you. The Pistons have been out of it for a month or two now, and, you know, you're beating a team while they're down. And just, there's something about that that's wrong. Like, have respect for the game. Have respect for the integrity of the game. On the other side, if I'm Dante DiVincenzo, I'm like, "Hey, man, I'm going to keep shooting until you stop me."
Right.
I'm just out here trying to score. Like, I can get a record here. I'm going to go for it. Now, 10 years ago, or a different Piston team, he probably wouldn't have made it out of that game.
No.
Do you want to do that? You want to run up the score on us? Okay. You stick your foot out when he's trying to land.
Say hello to Rasheed
Wallace.
Knock
him out of bounds when you go to right. Yeah. So, and give Monty Williams respect, his team respect, for not taking that road.
Yeah.
Because they could have really jacked up the Knicks season, who are already down a superstar.
Yeah. And I get it. The Knicks are trying to stay afloat. They're trying to, you know, they're fighting for home court in the playoffs. So the game does mean something to them. Do you necessarily need to to jack up all these threes and win by 20 something points. Ooh, no,
threes, man.
You know, at the end of the day, like, it's not soccer, right? At the end of the day, you're not going to advance on aggregate. It's not, your goal differential doesn't matter. Scoring doesn't, like, plus minus doesn't matter in the NBA. What matters is that you win. But at the same time, this is coming off like very unwritten rule-y in terms of baseball, you know, like, oh, we can't stop you, so you're supposed to stop yourself. Yeah, fuck off. You know, you're a professional. You get paid. This isn't Little League. It's not.
You're right, but you don't have to be shooting threes, right? Go to the basket, run your plays. You know, it doesn't. You're just jacking up. It's not a play where we're calling for a three pointer. Like,
that's
you're
true.
You're hoisting up threes when you're already up 30.
You're right about
like
that.
That's a punch in the face. And it's just like, yeah, what the fuck? Like, that's like, you know, when you're, what is it? When you're playing against, when you're beating a team in football by 40 and you're throwing 60-yard bombs. Like, yo, what are you doing?
Right.
We're losing. It's a wrap, man. What are you guys doing to us here? You're embarrassing us? And it's not, like I said, it's not like you got a history with this team. It's not like this team is playing for anything. Like, they're hurt. They didn't have all their players. They don't even have NBA talent right now. And you're fucking giving it to them in the fourth quarter, no less. They even think about those Golden State teams where they would pull Steph and Klay out at halftime when they were beating teams down. Or in the third quarter, they wouldn't play a whole quarter.
True.
Like, it's respect. Like, you know. I just thought it was a lack of respect.
It is a lack of respect. But, you know, at the same time, it's just like the Detroit Pistons don't deserve respect. Like, they're not very good, and they're not going to be good for the foreseeable future.
Respect the game. Like, you know, just
Monty Williams isn't even the most famous Monty we want to talk about. Like, Jordan Montgomery just got paid. That's the more famous Monty. That's the bigger Monty story. Monty Williams, you got your money, and this is what you put out there, man.
You just want to respect the game, though. You know, it's just, you don't have to kick a person while they're down. They're down, man. They're down.
The Knicks have been down for 50 years.
They've waved the flag. They're out. So just let's just get out of here without anybody getting hurt. But we actually deferred this story because there were so many other things going on. But
yeah.
NCAA March Madness is happening, and both of our brackets are still looking really good. Most of the top seeds advanced in the tournament this year, to the surprise of most experts. Over 1.8 million people had Kentucky going to the Final Four, and everyone had their bracket busted when Kentucky was beat by Oakland. And well, that's Oakland in Rochester, Detroit, or sure, it was something like that. Rochester, Michigan. So Coach Calipari is now 1-4 in his last five NCAA tournament games. So will Stepanek's Boogie Flan help get Kentucky out of the first round next year?
How much are they paying him?
I hope they're paying him a lot of money for him not to go to St. John's or even UConn, which is really close. You got to go all the way to Kentucky to play basketball? Come on, dude.
Stay in Westchester, man. Go to Wyoming. Like,
there you go.
Yeah. So
how do you not even get an offer? He only got an offer from Alabama. He got an offer from Alabama, Kentucky, and I can't think of the other. Indiana.
That's wild.
Indiana.
Okay.
Those are the only three teams he got an offer from. What the hell? How do you not even give him an offer?
I don't know. But what I do know is that he has it's a lot of chalk this year, man. Like, this was to be expected. Like, okay, you had your 8-9s. 8-9 is not an upset. We've seen enough of 5-12s. 5-12 isn't an upset. You're getting, okay, now you have Auburn-Yale. Yale beating Auburn by 2. All right. Now you got something. All right, I can work with that. Kentucky going down to a team that we don't even know where they're from. Like, we're thinking it's the Oakland, California. Now it's actually Rochester, it's Michigan, Minnesota? Which one is it again?
Michigan.
Okay, it's Michigan. So, that's embarrassing. That's absolutely embarrassing. And then we're kind of burying the lead because we started off with an embarrassing story. University of Virginia. What are we doing? Tony Bennett, what the fuck? Do you know how many points Virginia had at the half?
17?
14.
That's close.
I'm pretty sure the Spelman freshman basketball team could probably put up 14 points. 14. I get you recruit defensive players, but bro, you have to find a shooter. Go to the basket. Do something. How the fuck do you manage 14 points? We could score 14 points by accident. The two of us. We could probably do that. But I don't know. It's looking very chalky. Like, you do have the one intriguing matchup tomorrow. You have UConn San Diego State. You have a rematch of last year. Like, I'm intrigued to see, can San Diego State finish the job this year? Because it couldn't do it last year. Chances are no. UConn's a beast. Could this be another one of those years where we end up with chalk all four number ones? It's hard not to see, right? Or I can make an argument for, you know, UConn and Marquette both making it to the Final Four. Like, in my mind's eye, I can see that. Like, it's within the realm of possibility. Now, North Carolina, they beat up on Michigan State. You were right about Michigan State. You were absolutely right about Michigan State. They beat up on Wagner. They beat up on Michigan State. Now they're going to draw an Alabama team. We'll see what they can do. I'm looking at Purdue. If there is one number one seed that scares me, that may not make it, it's Purdue. Because every time Purdue has expectations put on them, they shit the bed. Every time they're number one, they lose. They make it to the top 20, number one in the coaches poll, they lose. So, like, to me, they're the most vulnerable. So there's a definite possibility. If I'm looking for an underdog team to kind of pump up, I mean, if you can even call a six seed an underdog, give me Clemson at this point. I think Clemson might be able to make a run. Why the fuck not? Like, why not? And if it, yeah, so we still got some intriguing matchups coming up. There's still a possibility that all four number one seeds survive, but I'm looking at Purdue, and I'm thinking they're the ones that don't make it.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, just to go back to the question, I do think Boogie Flan can help Kentucky, but I think John Calipari is going to have to change his style. I think he's very reluctant to use the transfer portal, and he's just going to have to. You're not going to be able to just win in one and done.
Nope.
You're going to have to recruit. You're going to have to get guys and probably pay them. And you're going to have to try to put a team together. And I think he'll figure it out. You know, and it's interesting because there's a lot of people that wanted him gone. A lot of people that were hoping Kentucky was going to buy out his contract. He'd get a new job tomorrow. He's that good. He's been there for 16 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, but is it going to end up being like the Nick Saban thing where the NIL and the transfer portal, is this going to erode his control to the point where he's like, fuck this, I'm out?
That I don't know. I just know that if he wants to have success and if he wants to start winning tournament games again, he's going to have to rethink how he puts his teams together.
Yeah.
He can't be one and done guys. You're going to have to get a mixture of portal guys and you're going to have to get one and done guys. And then to talk about the bracket, I mean, bracket's looking pretty fantastic. It's just going to come down to, you know, I have UConn going all the way. So as long as they keep blowing people out and playing strong, she'll be fine. I'm with you. Clemson is a team that is very good, very under the radar. I think Illinois is another good team. They have two stud players, and I like Tennessee. I have Tennessee going to the championship, so I like Dalton Connect and that bunch. So we'll see how it all plays out. Games start up again tomorrow.
Absolutely. We're definitely going to see how this plays out. And it could very well, you know, the crazy part is that every Big East team is still alive. right? So you still have Creighton, you still have Marquette, you still have UConn. All right, that is very interesting. We're gonna see how good they are, and it's really possible that, you know, we already have been pumping up the Big East for a while here, so they may prove to be the best conference this year in terms of college basketball. But I gotta say, like, we're gonna have some intriguing matchups down the road, and it's one of those years that, as predictable as it seems, there's still enough intrigue that, like, I will pay attention. You know, like, yeah, there's no George Mason, right? There's no Florida Gulf Coast. There's no University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Like, you don't have the major upsets, but I mean,
Dayton Flyers.
Yeah, Dayton. Like, you have Dayton. They knocked off Nevada. But if you're looking at it, like, what would have been intriguing was if Long Beach State not somehow knocked off Arizona. Now that guy doesn't have a job again. Like, I won the tournament. Yeah, I'm in the tournament, and I lost my job. And then, oh, fuck, I made the tournament, and I lost my job again. Oh, man. But, you know who's kind of getting a pass right now? Kansas. Kansas is out. They lost to Gonzaga. Yes, you lost to Gonzaga, but
blow it out.
You're out. You're out. I mean, Kansas is a perennial contender. It's a perennial power. And they're at the crib, along with Kentucky. So, you know, there is something to this. I think you're absolutely right. They need to change how they recruit. They need to change how they do business, because, you know, the old way of doing stuff, just it doesn't work anymore. It just does not work anymore. They're not beating down the door to come to you. And, like, you can't, offering them the NBA, like, these guys are getting paid now. Like, it's not, I mean, for the NBA caliber players, sure. But these other guys, they're going to be moving around, and they're going to be getting paid a lot of money. You got to get on board. Like, you can't be as stubborn as, like, a Dabo Sweeney. You can't be that. You have to adjust to the times. And if you're not willing to adjust to the times, then step out of the way and let the schools find somebody who will. Credit to Coach K. He saw the way things were going, and he said, fuck this. I'm out. John Shire, you take over, my man. You take over.
Can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? You know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in those DMs on Fade Route Podcast on IG, or hit that Twitter, FaderouteDNZ.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have adjunct professor from St. John's University and a member of Success Specialist at Island Federal, Vincent Accardi's here. Hey, Vin, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Appreciate it.
Vinny, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? Thanks again. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you all.
Yeah, we'll start you off with this. It's March Madness has started. Yeah. So how's your bracket doing, and who do you like to win it all?
So I have a bracket pool going for as a fundraiser for this non-for-profit foundation I started in memory of my friend. I'm in dead last in it, who watches college basketball. And then the guy who doesn't watch any college basketball in my fantasy football league that I play in, he watches none. He's in first place in the league. So yeah,
he probably had his son or his daughter make all the picks for him.
I'm not sure who did, but it's been it's been fun to watch. I enjoy it. I actually enjoy women's basketball as well. My wife works for the NCAA women's basketball for this year.
Oh, wow.
So we've been following that along pretty closely to see who's going to the Final Four, because on Monday she'll be leaving for Cleveland to meet the teams that will be going to the Final Four. So looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, my bracket is completely. Well, I should say that I have all my Final Four teams there.
Okay.
The problem is all the upsets I tried to pick to earn points didn't work out.
Yeah. Right? You're okay. So, as long as you have all four Final Four teams and at least five of the eight Elite Eight, you got a shot. Who do you have winning it all?
UConn. They're a wagon.
Yeah. How could you not?
Absolute wagon.
St. John's gave them a good run, and all three times they faced them, too, man.
Yep. But they are just a machine.
They're a machine. It's a machine, but all the 1-2 seeds advance, and most of the higher seeds are still in the tournament. So now that we live in a world with NIL deals and we have the transfer portal, are you surprised we do not have any Cinderella teams this year?
I am surprised, because I think teams that have veteran players on them, clearly John Calipari's one and done is not going to work. They can be uber talented. But if you get a bunch of veteran guys to play against an inexperienced team that hasn't played together or only played one season together, about 30 games, you're not going to, you know, advance, obviously seen by that. And then the teams that have veteran players, I mean, UConn just reloaded, right? They got Cam Spencer really late. It was basically between UCLA or USC and UConn. Someone made a call to Cam's people. He was supposed to stay at Rutgers. Obviously, they hurt with losing him. They couldn't score the basketball at Rutgers. And then he goes to UConn, is that piece where he can, you know, shoot it from the outside. And that just right there shows the impact of NIL, right? Rutgers is supposed to have a rebuilding year. Next year, they'll be exceptionally better, having arguably two top NBA draft picks for the 2025 draft. But that's what happens. I mean, you are at a smaller school, you have an exceptional year, and you put yourself in the portal, and you're making 50, 100K, 150K, right? So that's life-changing money for an 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old, 22-year-old. But there's arguments all over the place. I think it's unsustainable. There's got to be. I'm not opposed to NIL, but NIL became dropping off the duffel bag legally instead of illegally. So the bad guy on the staff is now has a full-time job, and his job is to be the general manager of NIL, right? But perfect example of NIL is watching the kid from Oakland have a great tournament, knock down a bunch of threes in two games, and then he's got a Buffalo Wild Wings sponsorship. That's NIL. Him going to do autographs or run a camp this summer is NIL. You just getting a bag of cash or putting yourself out like a free agent every single year, that was not its intention. I'm not opposed to it being there, but it has to have some structure, some framework. It has none. None.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, is like you know, the Calipari is going to have to try to figure it out, because he's not going to be able to do one and dones and win in the NCAA tournament. He's going to have to get a mixture of portal guys. He's going to have to get, he can still get his one and dones, but the days of putting together a team with, you know, guys that are going to go 1 year and go to the NBA, 2 year to go to the NBA, I think those days are over. And that's why teams like Duke and teams like Kentucky, your blue chip teams, it's not going to be a slam dunk anymore. They're going to have to compete with everybody. But, you know, moving over to football, the National Football League put in a few rule changes this week. They've changed the kickoff format to allow the ball to be returned and cut down on collisions. And they've also had the hip drop tackle taken out, which now will be illegal to, you know, hip drop tackle someone. So, Vin, which new rule will have a bigger impact on the game?
Oh, I thought about this one. My feeling is that the hip tackle is going to be a judgment call by an official, and it's going to be 15 yards. Is it 15 yards at a first down?
Yeah, yeah.
Personal foul?
It's a personal foul.
That's going to be like roughing the passer. Although, I think roughing the passer now is going to be reviewable, by the way.
Okay.
Like that was brought up. But, man, someone's going to make a call. And if that's not reviewable and that tackle happens and it's 2 minute warning, you know, 2 minutes left in the game, and that type of tackle happens, it gets you better in the field goal position to tie or to win. How about
Patrick Mahomes running for a first down and gets hit drop tackled in the AFC title game on a third down play or a fourth down play? Now what? Now how's that look? How's that going to look? Or how about Derrick Henry coming like a freight train down in the four hole, and the Dory Jackson's got to do like an Olay tackle. You kind of got to let him go, and then you get him from behind. You're not going to take him on head on. That's a career choice. Mm-hmm. So now what do you do? And if you think back to, I think it was DJ Metcalf chasing down the corner.
Yeah,
from,
that's right.
He chased him down 98 yards, and after 98 yards, he hip drop tackled him. Now what? Phenomenal play. Great play. What?
Yeah. Was there a lot of injuries from this type of tackle?
Well, there were enough to cause concern, and the latest one was the Mark Andrews one. That's the one where everybody was kind of uproar about. It happened in the Bengal game late in the season, and it sidelined him for pretty much the end of the year, and he wasn't himself in the playoffs, and they felt like that really ruined the Ravens' chances. And they're like, okay, we kind of got to do something about this. But I think the bigger issue, Vin, is that, you know, these are owners making these decisions, and these aren't players who get to vote on this and say, hey, man, like, I have a career here. I have to make tackles. How am I supposed to tackle people if I can't, you know, rap and fall?
But at the end of the day, like, the new kickoff rule that is like the XFL style, it really applies to only the special teams players, right? You know, Mark Andrews isn't playing special teams. The guys that are making their bones aren't. They're the low guys on the totem pole. So, like, that's the one thing that you have to be concerned about. Like, who are you going to side with if you're the NFL? Ideally, you would just do both. But if you're choosing, you're going to choose between the guys that are higher profile. You're going to try and protect them. You're going to try and keep them on the field.
I think the problem with the new kickoff rule is that it is, I think it works in an amateur football league. Mm. I don't know how well this is going to work with professional football players.
So you're saying
it's a much quicker reaction. It's a much quicker game. You know, you just got to get by your guy, and then it could still be a gang tackle, right? I mean, you're going to ease up on. Of course, you're going to ease up on the 40-yard running and smashing into somebody. But now this runner could potentially be hit by six or seven guys at one time if he chooses the wrong direction to go in.
Yeah, I'm actually excited. I'm weary of the hip tackle penalty, right? Judgment call. But I'm excited about the kickoff, honestly.
Okay, great.
Like, I think it could be – but I think teams need to – like, you know, again – being a Jets fan, I see an Xavier Gibson being able to run that ball, you know, back. Again, coaching matters, players matter in terms of making plays and blocks and following, you know, the schemes that they come up with. But I mean, I think the kickoff thing could be fun. I hope we won't see balls just continuously go through the end zone from, you know, Butker or Tucker or whomever the kickers are.
That's the thing. If that's what's going to happen, just, you know, at that point, just get rid of it completely. If it's just gonna, if we're just going to start in the 35, just start in 35. Let's just make that happen. But another one, like the onside kick rule, that they have to declare that they're doing an onside kick. Like, that, right. Like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
I don't know
about that. I mean, I think, again, you have, you know, Damien said you have owners making decisions on their investment of their team, the players' contracts, driving revenue to their stadium and filling their, you know, the seats. But I mean, there's some of the decisions you need to have. I would assume the NFLPA's got, you know, some voice, maybe. I don't know, but I'm excited for the kickoff. Hip tackle, oh boy, officials, get ready, just lines up. you know you're gonna be sitting back here, you know, week two, week three, and be like, how about that hip tackle call? I mean, really? Yeah, or we could be sitting there and we could be like, wow, what a kickoff return, won them the game, you know, or got in the position to, you know, thought that the team that thought they won it, they kicked it deep, he ran it back, and now they're on the, you know, 40-yard line the other way trying to kick a game-winning or game-tying field goal. We'll see.
Well, we definitely will see. I mean, that's they're trying to open it up for more offense, and, you know, we know you're a Jet fan after spending many years with the organization, and the Jets have added to their offense. They brought in left tackle Tyron Smith. They brought in wide receiver Mike Williams. You know, they're trying to make this Aaron Rodgers thing work if he actually stays and doesn't run for vice president. So which player will be more vital to the Jets' success this season? Williams, Smith, or somebody else?
It's... all those are great signings. They really are. If they work out, guys stay healthy or come back from injuries, Jets are going to have to manage Tyron Smith. He didn't practice for half the season for the Cowboys. He just did walkthroughs. But the most important guy and vital guy is always going to be Aaron Rodgers. This is it. This is the end of the Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh era in January. You're sitting back. We could be having another conversation, Happy New Year to you both in 2025, and be like, well, when's Black Monday? Because it's just a matter of time. I wrote that today on Twitter to somebody, because there was an argument. Apparently there was, you know, again, people trying to make stories up. Saleh was arguing with Woody, and at the owners' meetings, people got wind of it.
I saw that.
I was like, listen, who cares what they're arguing about? In January of 2025, when Black Monday comes and the Jets are 9-7, not in the playoffs, he's gone. It's over. Like, you can't. The most important guy is Rodgers. If he goes down, you could say, okay, well, this year they have a suitable backup, Tyrod Taylor. He goes down, then they're definitely screwed. Even worse.
Well, I mean, they do have a guy that they've been trying to trade, but apparently they're willing to hang on to him now. So, you know, if it comes down to that again, where it's second, you know, third verse, same as the first, like, they can't give him another pass. Like, no. it can't be.
He can't be here. He can't even be in Florham Park for OTA. Like, when OTAs come up after the draft and Rodgers comes in, he can't even show up for those, because the media will be able to watch those. Like, he can't be around this organization anymore. It's a failed experiment, right? Look at the Steelers. Such a structured and sound organization. Hey, Kenny Pickett, you're not the guy. Russell Wilson, trade.
Thank
for
you
Justin
for your
Fields.
Time. Thank you for your time. But you're gonna go play for the other team in Philadelphia. We've got Russell coming in, and we're working on bringing in Justin Fields. But thank you. It's been swell. Sorry it didn't work out. You have a good future, and just not here.
Coach, I don't really feel comfortable about you signing Russell Wilson. Well, fuck your feelings.
Not a problem. Not a problem, Kenny. We actually have a deal to send you somewhere else, so you will only be here for a couple more hours.
Clean out your locker, son.
Yes.
Actually, don't even bother. We'll take care of that. Just go. Here's your ticket. See Nancy on the way out.
Your flight arrangements have been arranged. Turn in your tablet, please.
Your bus pass is awaiting for you. We're not even sending you on the plane.
We have a Greyhound bus ticket waiting for you in Pittsburgh. Enjoy.
But again,
this is the problem with the Jets. Like, I don't know if it's the general manager, but when you mess up and make a bad pick, just own up to it and say, it didn't work out. All this talk, I get it. They're trying to instill some value, but they're not going to get anything for him.
Look at the 49ers with Trey Lance.
Exactly.
See you later, man. Thanks.
That's it. It didn't work out. He's not the guy. Yes, we spent the number 2 pick on him. Yes, we got giddy and all excited for his throw 60 yards down the field off his back.
J.J. McCarthy going out, made the same throw.
Who cares? You got to be able to read defenses. You have to be able to know where you're going with the football. And
run in the right direction.
Right. Throw the ball in the right direction. Make the right throw. You know, not throw it at the feet of a screen to Breece Hall.
Not blame the defense for you being inadequate.
Not throw your teammates under the bus.
Not throw your teammates under the bus.
Right. You know, and you saw glimmers of it. It's just not there. It's not there. Sam Darnold, the best Jets quarterback outside of, obviously, Mark Sanchez.
Hey, Geno did well. Geno took a long time.
But Geno had to move on and took a long time to develop in Western
Virginia. Took him a long time. But we're all proud of Geno here. Good job turning your life around.
Yeah. Hey, good for him.
Punched in the face.
Got punched in the face in the Jets locker.
You turned it around, sir.
Yeah. People forget about that.
We don't.
Jets fans. You know.
No, it's kind of hard to forget that. But that whole Snoopy Bowl incident with Rex getting him hurt, and then Gino's like, me? I gotta do this? Like, what are we doing here, coach? Like, why he was in the third quarter of the fucking Snoopy Bowl will never be explained to me adequately.
Rex Ryan's still the best Jets coach in the last, since, I guess, Herm, right, Damon?
That's a low bar. It's a low bar.
But think of everybody after.
Yeah.
Mangini, Adam Gase.
Oh, God. Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Todd Bowles.
The immortal Todd Bowles. That's it.
Good defensive coach, Todd Bowles.
Yeah. He had something.
Todd Bowles had. Did he have Brady for a year after Aaron left?
Yeah, he won the Super Bowl.
He was the defensive coordinator.
He had Brady for 1 year. Yeah.
Okay, then he gets Baker Mayfield. That position is so important. They just can't get it right in Florham Park.
They had a chance to get Baker. They opted out of that one.
Yeah.
Right. On the trade side of things with Cleveland, right? When they, yeah. Hey, at least we're not Browns fans, although they made the playoffs with Joe Flacco, right? Yeah.
Jets didn't do so well with Joe Flacco. And they decided to skip out on bringing him back.
Yeah.
He might have done well for this team last year.
Anybody would have been better than Zach Wilson outside of Chris Strebler or...
Mike White.
No, who played after Zach? Who'd they bring in?
Oh, Tim Boyle?
No, well, Tim Boyle, who they then cut. And then they signed a guy off the street the last two games of the season. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's fair.
God almighty.
Anybody would have been better.
It was a debacle. An absolute debacle. But you know what? We're going to cleanse our palates a little bit because we're moving over to baseball. Tomorrow's opening day. The Mets have already been rained out. They're going to play on Friday. The Braves have already been rained out with the Phillies. They're going to play on Friday. So instead of talking about opening day starters, opening day lineups, we got to talk about Shohei Ohtani. Like, this has been the major headline of the past week. What can Rob Manfred do to get the attention off of Ohtani and back on baseball at this point?
I mean, what can Rob do? I don't know. I actually remember working in Major League Baseball's office, and Rob was not the commissioner at the time, but always coming by my desk. I can remember interacting with him. Very funny guy. Loved working at Major League Baseball. Loved my time there. All the guys I worked for are still there. That's how people don't leave those jobs. Listen, the Dodgers are going to open next season in Japan. So there's nothing happening to him. Literally, like, they're going Cubs, Dodgers, 2025 Japan series to start the 2025 season. Yamamoto, Ohtani, the Cubs have a guy. Big yeah. bucks, right? Sold out. They'll do a tour, yada, yada, yada. What can they do? They're just finding this, the interpreter and the blame is on him, period. What they should do is say what they did with Trevor Bauer. Total different situation and story,
yeah.
right? So that's not comparison apples to oranges. But the investigation part is where they can start and say, hey, until we have some definitive answers and we can figure out what exactly happened here, because there's been some misinterpretations of stories and things he said, she said, and the story was written and then said the opposite. We're going to have to say you're on the indefinite IL, it's not an injury, you know. And then
it's called the exempt list.
Yeah, you're on the exempt list. When this is over and we've done our investigation, we may reinstate you. We may not. You can apply for reinstatement. Yeah. You may not. Doesn't mean he's out for the season. I mean, but it's the Dodgers and it's their best player yeah. internationally. And that's where they're trying to grow the game. Like the NBA has and like the NFL has it playing in Brazil and in London, right? And that's the nature of the drive revenue when it comes all back to it. More eyeballs on television, more eyeballs in the stadiums. But yeah, I can't wait. He gets to Philly or New York, the signs that will come in, the people chanting at him, he won't understand a thing that people are saying. So that's a good thing for him. So,
I mean, the whole thing's a mess over there. Like, they, I'm sure that the team has already had an interpreter, but you got to hire his guy. And then they rallied around him. Like, it was it's a closed door scenario. It's very, like, he's very cloak and dagger about his personal life. We know more about Derek Jeter. And Derek Jeter was notorious for being, like, super, like, hush-hush about things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's amazing what Ohtani has been able to do and how he's been able to kind of keep everybody off of him. But 700 mil, I don't know. We were talking about it before. Like, if you're the interpreter, like, how much of a cut do you want to do this time?
Yeah, I mean,
I was saying 10%. 70 million is more than enough for a month.
Yeah, Vin, that's a good question for you. So if you're his interpreter, you've been placing bets for him, looks like you're going to go to jail for him. Vin, how much does Ohtani have to give you for you to do 6 years in a soft penitentiary? Like, what's the number? 20 mil? 30 mil?
No, it's funny you say that. My brother-in-law said to me, we were talking about this, and he writes, hey, wouldn't you spend a couple years in jail to get $70 million or whatever the percentages you're going to get? I was like, no. I'm not spending 2 years in confinement for money at the end. I'm like, I don't want to spend my life in jail. What? 365 days and two times two in jail or three, whatever number. I'm sorry. I mean, obviously, he's got
to. You're on your own, buddy. I'm telling the truth.
He's obviously going to get
paid. I'm not going to jail for nobody.
Yeah, he's obviously going to get paid by him, but man. Oof. I guess I don't know what my number is. 10% is not a bad number.
70
so,
mil.
70 mil. Mil. Like, I'm good with that.
You're like, all right, I guess. I guess we
start there.
Yeah. We'll start there.
We'll start there. God forbid anything happens behind bars. That number just went up. Like that. Yeah.
Right. So,
I
like,
want
what
that
are you make...
shit put in an offshore account right now. I'm not coming out in 6 years to find out this was bogus, man.
Right. Like, no,
I win
happen.
The Gold Glove you win, and the MVP you win, and the World Series ring you win is mine.
I mean, yeah, I don't. It's a bad situation for them. It's not obviously what they needed. No. Boy.
Whew. No, definitely not. But, you know, we'll get you out of here on this one. Like, we also know you're a Mets fan. No. And
I
it's
like
been...
torture.
Yeah, well, I'm a Met fan too, so I get it. So they dealt off Scherzer, they dealt off Verlander, they brought in a huge prospect haul. They rebuilt the team with some also-rans, like your Sean Manias and your Joey Wendells. Solid players, but nothing to really write home about. I mean, they just signed JD Martinez, so there's your big signing. There's your big move a week before the season starts. So it's clear that they're third place in this division, because I don't trust the Marlins. So if you're running the show here, what are you doing? If you're Stearns, what are you doing with Pete Alonso?
Well, that's a multifaceted question. Multi-layered question. I'll tell you why. I think Scott Boras passed his time. Clearly, all his clients who he was trying to get max dollars for, none of them got it. So Pete going to Scott, I might reconsider that if I'm Pete right now, looking at JD Martinez, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah.
Right? So that's Pete's business. That's him and his family and to figure out. But clearly what Steve Cohen has said about bringing the Mets a World Series in 5 years is not going to happen since he took over ownership. So that's off the table, right?
Yeah.
So now you try to make impactful signings with a lot of money, older guys, Max, Justin, right? Doesn't work out. And finally, as a businessman, he says, that's it. I'm paying these guys off. They're out the door. Wish them well. They'll get paid. Give me back your best prospects. We're going to build this. And we're going to make strategic moves. So you get JD Martinez on a bargain because Boras thinks he can, you know, manipulate the market. He can't. And the Mets get him for $12 million. Fantastic. Right? Good plug-in.
I'll take it.
Helps. This can help this. I think, want to know what I think?
Yeah,
I think that JD Martinez is doing this to help Pete. You know, that's behind Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Pete's in front of him. Pete becomes a free agent. JD is back to being a free agent, right? Because they're 1 year deal. Now, both of them have exceptional years, assuming they stay healthy. And they're both free agents. Pete's going to go out and get his nine-figure salary. And JD's back in the market to get his eight-figure salary for
right.
a one-year, two-year deal. Ah. If the Mets aren't in it, they got to do the Aroldis Chapman. They got to trade him and then try to sign him back. If they're not in it at all. Now, people will say from last season that they shouldn't have traded both Justin and Max. Max was good. Should have kept Justin because you might have been able to stay in it. Maybe. This year, if you're on the cusp, you got to keep Pete. Knowing that you're not going to re-sign him. Potentially.
The bottom end of the National League is weak, though. Like, even with Monty going to the Diamondbacks, I really don't like their squad. Because you're looking at the Giants, you're looking at the Diamondbacks, you're looking at the Padres. They don't excite me. So the Mets could be in this. So that's the thing.
You shake no, Damon? Why?
No. He's a Braves fan. Come on now. Come
Phillies,
on.
Oh. Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
guys
okay.
These guys are going to be there, man.
I'm sorry. Who represented the National League in the World Series last year? Not one of the teams that you mentioned.
Yeah, you're right.
He got you right there.
Gotta imagine the Padres are going to contend, and San Francisco's got a decent team. I think all those teams are better than the Mets.
I think here are the teams come out of the playoffs as two fellow Mets fans here. My prediction. Three teams out of the NL West, one out of the NL Central, and two out of the NL East.
Phillies, I think that's fair.
Phillies, Braves, Giants, Dodgers, Diamondbacks.
Yeah, or Padres.
Or Padres, and the Cardinals? I mean, yeah. I'm trying to think about teams. I mean, the problem is the pitching. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Everyone, hey, Edwin Diaz is back to Trump. The trumpets are going to play if you can't get to the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be down 7 runs. He's not coming in the game. You have to be up 1 run or tied, and then he's coming in. If you're down 7, because it's 14-7, because you can score runs with that lineup, again, assuming health is in there, but your starting pitcher, who's Luis Severino, can't stay healthy. Senga, can't stay healthy. Right? Now we're throwing out Tyler McGill and Sean Manna and who else? Hauser that they picked up from the Brewers. That's Stearns picking guys off the scrap heap from his former employer. I mean, we'll see. Me and my wife are talking on it today. Last year we had season tickets to the Mets. And she's like, we're not buying season tickets. We went online today. It's $30 to go to opening day. I'm like, we paid $100 with our season ticket package last year. Why am I going to spend $200 last year when I can go to opening day for $60 if we wanted to go? So it's the nature of the business, man. I love it. I love it as a fan, and I love working in it. You know, I just unfortunately don't work for many winning organizations. All I got is the Rangers.
Yeah, you just clinched a playoff berth last night.
That was a fun game to watch.
That was great.
That was fun. My brother's into it, and it's fun to have one of your siblings. My brother's not into any other sports besides hockey, so it's fun to be able to watch games with them or be following along while they're playing. So that's one way we stay connected, is definitely by enjoying them. We went to the Stadium Series game.
Oh, nice.
At MetLife Stadium. That was awesome. That comeback, similar to what they did last night.
It's a great. Little concerning, though. Like the back and forth is just, it's very, very concerning. And like, you can get bounced in a playoff series if you can't play defense. So you can't have nights like that too often. Like, maybe once in a while, but, you know, Laviolette knows what he's doing. Shesterkin seems to have a bounce back year this year. Like, if Fox and Miller, and they'll get Trouba back eventually, I think that'll sort itself out. But like, games like that give you agita. Like, games like last night totally give you agita.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get back Trouba and Lindering, but they need... they need Miller to play better defense.
Yeah.
You're going to win games in the playoffs 2-1, 3-2, 4-3. You're not going to see high-scoring games like you saw last night with the Flyers with that back and forth. I think Rangers scored 5 goals between the overtime and third period, and then the Flyers scored 4. You're not going to see
6-5 in regulation. 6-5 in overtime.
Yeah, you're not going to see 10 goals between overtime and the third period, let alone the whole game in the playoffs. I mean, there's something to be said about a 7-game series in the NHL.
There's nothing like it. I mean, it's the best playoffs in all sports. But Vinny Cardi, thank you for coming on. And
yeah, thanks.
We know that you have a little you have a little LinkedIn thing called Victories with Vinny. Can you elaborate on that and tell us what that's all about?
Sure. So thanks for mentioning that. Thanks, guys, for having me. I really appreciate it. Appreciate Damon. I have to get Damon on Victories with Vinny. Even though Damon wasn't a student of mine, we worked together, and I like to catch up with former colleagues of mine and see what they're doing professionally and personally. And so I came up with it. I was living in Florida. I want to connect with former students who I had and taught in class at St. John's. And then I also wanted to connect with former colleagues of mine that I've worked in the sports industry with, or just in general throughout my career. One of my really dear friends does his own thing called Coffee with Colson, and I was like, how can I do this when I enjoy talking to people and following up with fellow alumni of St. John's? And I was like, you know what, we're gonna celebrate people's successes personally and professionally. I'm gonna see what they've been up to, how their career is going, why they made the change from one position to another. And then that's how I was born. I just made a reviving comeback. I had a little bit of a hiatus, and then I started teaching again for St. John's online. And we're not supposed to have a literal class, but I decided to have a guest speaker every Monday night for a couple of weeks. So I've been able to connect with a few former students and check on how they're doing and what's next for them in their career. And it's great to just talk to them and hear their stories and transitioning maybe in a, you know, being promoted or out of sports into a new industry. You know, so many things that, you know, you want to hear and see people succeed. I just enjoy it. I enjoy seeing other people accomplish, you know, what's in front of them or what they strive for, especially, you know, the younger sports, you know, professionals or sports business, sport management students that are pursuing the industry. So that's where it came about. If this gets out there to the universe, which I hope it does, and I'll share it soon, you guys put it out there, put it on my LinkedIn too, but hopefully it'll inspire more former students, alumni of St. John's to want to connect with me and want to do, you know, 45 minutes or so to kind of find out what they're up to in their life. So next time, now Damon got me here and now I got a schedule. Now we got to get him on my calendar.
There you go. And that's how you keep this thing going. You keep paying it forward, you keep building on it. And you know, that's how we make this happen. But Vinny Accardi, thank you for coming on. Thank you for being a member of the In Route. And if you want to join us, if you want to be part of the In crowd and join us on the In Route, hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz. And you, yes, you could be the newest member of the In crowd. Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants, we got those too. Like some cool accessories, we got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade store with DNZ.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. We put up a poll on our X account and our Instagram account, at FadeRouteDNZ and at FadeRoutePodcast, respectively, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
Ipe Mutsuhara. Congratulations. Congratulations. You might not only get the coveted ass trophy, but you might be getting a prison sentence. So, congratulations. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right. First up, I've got the NFL owners. NFL owners took another step to legislate defense out of the league by making the hip drop tackle illegal. How are corners supposed to tackle guys bigger than them now? And how are they supposed to tackle players from behind? NFL owners, you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. Number two, the New York Knicks. While blowing out the Pistons on Monday, you left your starters in and allowed Dante DiVincenzo to keep shooting threes to set the franchise record for threes, making 11, while routing the Pistons 124-99. I like Dante DiVincenzo. I like Coach Thibodeau, but you got to respect the game. New York Knicks, you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. And last but not least, Shohei Ohtani. Assuming the story is true and your interpreter stole from you, you should have a better grasp on your finances. The FBI should not have to confront you to let you know that $4 million was stolen from your account to handle gambling debts. Shohei Ohtani, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Z, what do you got?
All good choices. All fantastic choices. I'm going to start with Kim Mulkey. Kind of running Washington Post columnist Kent Babb threw it over a report that he's writing that he's been spending 2 years trying to get you to comment, trying to get your input on. And your response is to say, I'm going to sue the Washington Post if they publish this false story. He's giving me a deadline of right before tip-off of my game with LSU to respond to this. No. Coach. He's given you 2 years to respond. He has given you ample time for you to respond. You have chosen not to. So, if you are not going to respond, he is going to print what he has. That's how this works. It is not a hatchet job. It's not a gotcha piece. It's not a hit on you. You were invited to participate multiple times. If you didn't want to participate, this is what's going to happen. But it's not a hit piece. This is journalism. And if you don't want to be a part of it, if you don't want this to be part of the machine, then I don't know what to tell you, because that's part of it. This is part of your job. Coach Kim Mulkey, you are my alleged superstar of the week. University of Virginia basketball. Losing to Colorado State in a first four matchup, but that's not even the worst part. At the half, the score was 27-14. So it's bad all the way around. But 14 points for a defending national champion, right? They won in 2019. It's not that they're like this scrappy mid-major team like Wagner or like any of the other teams that are just scratching and clawing to get into the tournament. You are a recent champion in this tournament. And I get that Tony Bennett plays a defensive system, but can you recruit somebody who can shoot the ball? Just a thought. Can you recruit somebody who can go to the basket, drive to the basket, do something offensively? Because the only thing that's offensive is your offense. UVA basketball, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then last but not least, Scott Boras. Tanked your clients' markets. Totally. The last two are off the market. JD Martinez signed his 1-year deal with the Mets. And Jordan Montgomery, 1 year, $25 million with the Diamondbacks. Which has a possibility, that vesting option if he starts 10 games, which will most likely vest. 1 year, $25 million. Maybe call me crazy, but didn't he want something like $200 million? Am I wrong about that? I know Blake Snell wanted that, but Monty wanted something in that range too. Instead, 1 for $25. I'm a math teacher, so I kind of, yeah, $200 million is way greater than 25.
I can get you the exact number. Hold on a second. Yeah. What he wanted. I got it right here. He was looking for 170 mil.
170. Okay. So.
The market said he should have got 105.
25. 1 year.
Besting option for a second year.
So 25 is less than 105, which is less than 170. So it's in this conjunction, and if you don't know what a conjunction is, look it up. So it's still, you know, it's still not the years he wanted. It's not the value he wanted. And there's no guarantee that he's not going to get roughed up in Arizona, man. Like, starting pitchers, they got a rough go of it. In Arizona, they have a rough go of it. Greinke got lit up. Bumgarner got lit up. pretty much any guy, any star stud that they bring in, not named Randy Johnson or Curt Schilling, has not been great when they've gone to the desert. The ball flies out of there. So, we'll see. You know, Monty did very well in Texas. We'll see. But Scott Boras did him no favors whatsoever. Scott Boras, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees. Just do better, boys. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.